Last week, during our wonderful service of 9 lessons and carols, we once again heard about angels and mangers and shepherds and Mary and Joseph and, of course, the baby Jesus. But the very last lesson, which was read, is probably one of the more cryptic passages in the entire Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word dwelt among us, the Word was made flesh. As if the stories of the Annunciation and the virgin birth and a baby in a manger with a bunch of stable animals aren't enough to challenge our thinking, what's this about the Word? And I don't think it helps us much to know that other Bible translations call it not the Word, but the Logos, the Wisdom, the Truth. Here I'm afraid the Greek philosophy influence on the writer John is to blame for this rather enigmatic piece of scripture. So what exactly is the Logos of God? What is the wisdom of God? What is the truth of God? What Logos, wisdom, or truth became flesh? What Word dwelt among us? Well, here's a little hint. It's the only word on the front of your bulletin. But don't take my word for it, that love is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's hear from Mary, the mother of Jesus. Let's let Mary have the last word.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Isn't the internet great? I found this headline and news report online for January 22nd, 1987. Another heavy snowfall cripples south, northeast, January 22nd, 1987. A major winter storm roared into the northeast today after dumping up to 14 inches of snow on the deep south, shutting down airports, schools, and highways from Mississippi to New England, and hobbling the work of the federal government. A Officials up and down the Atlantic coast urge motorists to stay home. So when snow is falling, snow on snow, and your first child is about to be born in Canterbury, Connecticut, with Backus Hospital about in Norwich, about 20 minutes away, one does not stay home. And so the car of choice was our charcoal gray Subaru wagon with the critically important feature four-wheel drive, not only enabling us to get to the hospital, but also allowing me to take the daily trips back to the hospital on the snow-packed highways for Emily's time under a light to lower the bilirubin in her blood. It's hard to imagine a more precious cargo in one's automobile than a newborn child, a child deserving of all the love and protection a father can possibly give. And so, based on my own personal experience, I applauded it when Subaru came out with its landmark marketing campaign in 2008. For 10 years now, we have all heard the slogan, love, love, that's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. You see, before the campaign, the Subaru brand was stuck in neutral. The company had tried a rational approach, one after another, going through six campaigns and seven agencies in so many years. But then they discovered the reason people came to the brand wasn't rational at all. They determined it was all about love. Subaru drivers love life. They love the outdoors. They love their pets. They love their old Subaru. The love campaign was born. Well, in the last 10 years, Subaru's market share has more than tripled. Back in early October, when Hurricane Michael, with its devastating flooding, forced thousands from their homes in Florida, North and South Carolina, Love's market share also went sky high. With people fleeing their homes around Myrtle Beach, the most welcoming port in that storm was a total stranger. Jared Hux said, "Come stay with me. Come stay at my house until you can go back to yours." But it's not really a house, though. You see, Jared owns the Midtown Inn and Cottages. Throughout Hurricane Michael's flooding, Jared was open for business, or more like open for charity. As it turns out, Jared Hux gave away more than 1,000 free nights to his community's poorest and most vulnerable evacuees. "I don't know what I would have done," one guest said. "I don't know where we would be right now." Jarrett took in every member of the family, his no pet policy be damned. The Midtown welcomed dogs, a tortoise, and even a rescued baby squirrel named Mr. Squeakers. "Love thy neighbor, right? That's what you're supposed to do," Jarrett said. "My mama taught me that a long time ago." While Jarrett gave away more than $50,000 worth of services, his generosity also inspired others. "They came out of the woodwork," he said. "People started to run to me right away. How can I help? What can I do?" People brought diapers, ice, and plenty of food. Anyone staying at that hotel got three square meals a day. From the new shoes on their feet to their hair on their head, apparently there wasn't a single need that went unmet, especially for the children who played with laughter and giggles, wonderfully oblivious to the hardship all around them. In an attempt to return the favor, some of the parents pitched in with housekeeping and other chores around the inn. And while Jarrett appreciated the effort, he said the best repayment were the crayon on paper thank yous, as well as knowing with certainty that he had made his mother proud. Another mother would be proud of Jarrett. Mary, the mother of Jesus, would certainly be proud. Remember Mary's words? God has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things. Housing the lowly and filling the hungry with good things. In the words of a CBS television reporter, quote, Jarrett is the embodiment of love. Another violent storm wreaks havoc, causing suffering and hardship in William Shakespeare's classic play, The Tempest. And in that storm's aftermath, we hear that how we are to respond to our neighbor's suffering is what makes us human. In the closing scene in The Tempest, the spirit Ariel, in viewing the hardship of people, says to Prospero that if you now beheld them, your affections would become tender. Dost thou think so, spirit? Says Prospero. Ariel responds, mine would, sir, were I human. And then Prospero says, to be human is to be kindlier moved. If love is what makes a Subaru, then it might be fair to say, I think, that love is what makes a human, or more to the point, love is what makes a human Christ-like and possibly even divine. Only 2 centuries after the Word became flesh, Clement of Alexandria said, the Logos of God has become human so that you might learn from a human being how a human being may become divine. Love doesn't only make a human. Love is also what can make a human divine. A recent report this fall from the United Nations said, and I quote, Yemen is facing the worst famine in the world in 100 years. Currently in war-torn Yemen, it is believed that 21 million people, 80% of the population, many of them children, require some form of humanitarian aid. More than 3 million children under the age of 5 are at risk of severe malnutrition. But 2-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Nicholas Kristof, who recently returned from Yemen, observed firsthand the unfolding crisis, and he offered these words of hope to us. It truly is encouraging to see the growing concern for hungry children half a world away. Many people have asked me how they can help, and among the aid groups doing terrific work on the ground are the International Rescue Committee, CARE, Save the Children, and Oxfam. To be human is to be kindlier moved. By responding in love, we can and we will save lives. Well, if Jarrett Hux was the embodiment of love, so too was Kent Nerburn. 20 years ago, Kent was driving a cab for a living in New York City, always hurrying to bring people to where they needed to go. One day, Kent arrived at an address to pick up a fare, and so he honked the horn. After waiting a few minutes, he honked the horn again. Growing impatient but not wanting to simply drive away, he put the taxi in park and went to the door and gave it a knock. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly woman's voice. He could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 90s stood there. She was wearing a print dress and a hat, looking something like out of the 1940s. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked like no one had lived there for years. All the furniture was covered with white sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks on the shelves, and in the corner was a cardboard box with old photographs and glassware. Would you please help me carry my bag out to the car? Without hesitation, Kent took the suitcase and then returned to assist the woman. She took his arm and they walked to the curb. She kept thanking Kent for his kindness. It's nothing, he told her. I just like to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated. Oh, you're such a good boy, she said. When they got in the cab, she gave him an address. Could you drive me through downtown? It's not the shortest way, he said. Oh, I don't mind. I'm not in a hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice nursing home. He looked in the rearview mirror. The woman's eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left. The doctor says I don't have very long. Kent quietly reached over and turned off the meter. What route would you like me to take? For the next 2 hours, they drove through the city. She showed him the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. They drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband first lived as newlyweds. Sometimes she'd ask Kent to slow in front of a particular building or corner, and she would just sit there staring in the darkness. At the first hint of the sun, she suddenly said, I'm tired. Let's go now. So they drove in silence to the address that she had given him. Two orderlies came out to the cab. They were expecting her. Kent opened up the trunk and grabbed her suitcase. The woman was already in a wheelchair. How much do I owe you? She said. Nothing, Kent said. You have to make a living. There are other passengers. Kent, without thinking, just bent down and gave the woman a hug. She held on to him tightly. You gave an old woman a little bit of joy tonight. Thank you. Friends, this Christmas and beyond, because a child has been born unto us, we will be the Word. We, you and me, in this beloved family of faith, we will be that word of love to someone in their closing days, to someone grieving the loss of a loved one, to someone struggling with an illness. We will be that word of love to our own children and loved ones who are deserving of everything that we can offer them. And we will also be that word of love to children both near and far who are at this very moment cold, hungry, homeless, seemingly without hope. And because a child has been born unto us, love is the word for this often hurting world. And we will be that word each and every day. Amen.